Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Miss Danielle, and this is Help a Human Out. Last week, we started our conversation to answer our anonymous helper's question. Here it is again for a refresher.
I first heard of your podcast as an advertisement on another podcast I was listening to. What really struck me is that you guys talk about tough topics that can be taboo. I've been working through an issue that is so taboo, I don't feel comfortable talking about it with anyone I know. And I'm wondering if maybe someone else out there can identify with this situation. Let me start off that I'm in a very happy marriage. I love my husband deeply. He is a supportive, kind, and funny life partner and an involved father. We share a beautiful life together. I love my husband with my whole heart, but something I didn't realize is that my heart could also hold this kind of love for more than one person at a time. You see, I love his brother also. I've had these romantic feelings for my brother-in-law for about 10 of the 13 years I've been with my husband. I've tried so many things to eliminate these feelings. At first, I tried to sweep these feelings away and pretend like they didn't exist. It should come as no surprise that this technique did not work. Then I tried to talk myself out of it, that my brother-in-law is simply a horrible person that is undeserving of my time and attention. But this just wasn't true. He's as much of an upstanding human as my husband is. Then I tried to guilt myself out of these feelings, to convince myself that a good wife wouldn't feel this way. But this led me down a dark path of low self-esteem. I guess what I realized after all of this trial and error is that I can't outsmart matters of the heart. I really had to dig deep and figure out what was the underlying cause of all these extramarital romantic feelings. I finally started going to therapy to see if something was missing from my marriage because I'm 100% invested in making my monogamous marriage healthy and happy. After many sessions, my therapist and I couldn't identify any major red flags, just the usual areas for small improvements, like making more time for dates. My therapist and I shifted my therapy goal to eliminating the feelings of deep guilt associated with loving my brother-in-law. I'm happy to report it worked. I finally surrendered to these feelings of romantic love, and I've been working to shifting my perspective to one of gratitude. How lucky am I to have two people in my life that I care so deeply for? But just when I eliminated the guilt, a new emotion has crept in. For the first time in 10 years, my brother-in-law has a girlfriend. And although I'm very happy he finally has found companionship, I find myself, frankly, a little jealous that someone else gets to be the object of his affection. So to get back to the main point of the podcast, how can you help this human out? I guess my major question is, what can I do with all this extra love? How do I harness all of this care and devotion for good? And how have others lived with romantic love for more than one person in their heart while staying in a monogamous relationship? Thanks for listening to my taboo topic. Bye.
Whew. And like a lot of the amazing conversations we have here on Help a Human Out, sometimes it's hard to fit everything into just one episode. So today we are going to continue our conversation with our resident love expert. Sean Galanos is a love coach. He is host of the Love Drive podcast and online course creator. He teaches intimacy and communication tools for better relationships and more love. Not to mention, he literally is our resident love expert and we love to have him on the show. So let's get back into it. Lots of people are in love with lots of people. And I don't know if it's right or wrong. I just think that certain people should be off limits, mostly because it's messy, not necessarily because it's right or wrong. I just think that that can get really complicated because then all of a sudden you're having brother cousins, like legitimately the Jacksons, right? One of the Jacksons has like Michael Jackson's siblings, okay?
The only Jacksons that
the ones that matter, really. Yes. Michael Jackson siblings. So like, I don't know if it's actually this one, but just flow with me, people, because you'll understand what I'm saying. But like Jermaine got married, let's say, and he had some babies. And then Tito married Jermaine's wife that he had the babies with and had more babies. So literally we are in a situation now where we have brother cousins. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I'm already a little lost, but that's the reason to not hook up with those people.
That is the reason. If you need any reason to not sleep with your sister-in-law or your brother-in-law, your babies will be brother cousins.
And that's bad.
I think so. That's confusing. I mean, hell, I don't know. We're kind of in the matrix. Like, is this all real? Is it fake? Like, I don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore. I'm trying to figure it out and unlearn all the societal norms. So who knows if it's right or wrong?
Okay, here, let's try to boil it down. This is what I think it comes down to.
Okay.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Ooh, write it down. Just because you can. Say it again, Sean.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right.
Just because you can sleep with your boss doesn't mean you should.
Made that mistake once.
I only slept with colleagues. Only once, actually, at Chevy's Tex-Mex restaurant in Saratoga, California. Yvette, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Yvette.
I was 17. I'm sorry.
I was young too. I was sleeping with my boss. It was a dumb decision. I'm older now and more mature. And I'm with Sean. Just because you can sleep with a colleague or a boss doesn't mean you should.
It also doesn't mean that you shouldn't, because let's be honest, a lot of people meet at work and have fulfilling, loving relationships. So this is a zero judgment zone.
Yeah, we don't care what you do.
Like, just because you can sleep with your brother-in-law doesn't mean you should. Just because you are working on yourself. So I had this question come up. Someone said, I'm working on myself and I want to be celibate, but every time I do that, I'm attracted to, or someone is attracted to me. How do I stay committed to my growth process?
And because you should doesn't mean you have to, right?
Just because someone's attracted to you doesn't mean you have to go out with them. Just because you're turned on by somebody doesn't mean you have to act on it.
You better get that magic wand and do it yourself. Like, what? Wait, does celibacy mean you can't even use the magic wand?
No, you can wand out all you want.
Yes, that is the gift that keeps on giving. Listen,
that's right. Yeah,
the magic wand. I'm here for it.
Battery operated.
Listen, mine plugs in, so don't get it twisted, Sean.
I said the new one, which is like 10 years old. What?
The new one plugs in? I mean, the new one is battery operated?
I think it's time for an upgrade.
Listen, you say that, but hey, I got this on my, yes, it is 100%.
Hook that's Miss Danielle up. Hitachi, if you're listening, hook her up.
Emma, we need a sponsor. We need a sponsor. No, listen, I got it on my Michael Jordan, my 23rd birthday. I am 36. Sean, it is the gift that keeps on giving. Okay.
What did I say? 10 years.
You did. It's been okay, over
hey,
that. So
do you want to, I don't know if you need this, but you can hook it up to, we really took a left turn here.
That's okay. We're going to bring it back. We always do. I have ADHD, so our helpers have just learned to go with it. Shit.
So do I as well.
So you get it.
So for some people, the Hitachi is just too strong, right? The low is like way too strong.
Yes.
You can plug it into a dimmer, right?
So they
sell these dimmers that are just for your regular floor lamps. You know, if you have a non-dimmable lamp and you want to dim
it, you can actually plug the Hitachi. You can just bring it down.
Just bring it down a little bit.
You know, I'm actually glad that you gave me that tip. Oh my God, this is what we do. Vulnerability.
And then you can control it with the dimmer.
Yeah, because I have desensitized my area before with the magic wand. Like,
I mean, the wand is powerful.
Intense. So, okay, let's get back on track. All right, here we
Everybody,
go.
Dimmer,
I love talking
Amazon.
To you, Sean. All the things. Okay. I am going to take you on a complete left.
Okay.
And I am going to pick your brain on something. We talked earlier about Disney and like the unrealistic expectations that it kind of puts on us. I have read a book recently and it was called 28 Summers. Okay. And I'll fill you in a little bit on this book. And I'm so happy to have you here because it kind of ties into all of this, you know, being in love with someone you're not supposed to be in love with. Do you act on it? All these things. So in this book, which by the way, I highly recommend. Okay. It is so damn good. This
drop an affiliate link in the show notes.
Yes, absolutely. We should try to find the author and get this author on, because lo and behold, I don't know how you create a story like this unless you live through something like this, if you know what
okay.
I mean. Okay.
Okay.
So background on the story is this girl meets, like she answers the phone of her brother's college roommate, and they have this really interesting conversation in the beginning of their college years. Okay. And then her brother about that summer, her brother's like, hey, you know, let us come to your, she's on Nantucket. I think it's Nantucket. Yeah, she's on Nantucket and her aunt dies and gifts her this beautiful little cottage that she loves. So she's kind of balling it right at the moment. She got herself into this thing. The brother and the best friend are coming down to Nantucket for that first summer and the brother bails. So the guy comes down, right?
They classic have setup.
This classic setup. Meet cute. It's awesome. So they have this amazing, sexual, beautiful experience. And as you can tell, the book is called 28 Summers. So they decide to have a same time next year. They make a pact that no matter what, don't look like that. Don't look like it's impossible, Sean, because it sounds good.
Oh, the look was like wistful. How
cute. Oh, good. I thought it was Danielle. No, don't go
like,
down this
route. That's sweet. Also, like really hard to do, but very sweet.
Okay, but listen to, like, this is what I'm trying to find out. Like, okay, so they decide, they make a pact. It's, I think it's Memorial Day weekend every year. They're going to meet on Nantucket, right? And in the process of, don't laugh, Sean. In the process,
it's so sweet.
It's
That's
so
all.
Sweet. In the process of this 28 years and these 28 summers, he gets married. He has kids. She has a kid. He's married to a lady who winds up being in the government with like literally like a senator, which gets tricky because you know people be watching. So they pull off 28 summers. I don't want to give the whole story away because some shit happens at the end and I want people to read the book. But my question to you is, in this story, Mal is, that's the main character's name, the girl, right? I love her. I love that she is flawed and that she loves, and even though she knows like it's not necessarily right, she really does love this man and he really does love her. And he also loves his wife. And like, there's all this complicated things, but it's so human, right? And I love it. And I wonder to myself, which I am in a committed relationship right now. So sometimes I'm like, oh my God, am I bad for thinking this? But I wonder if like a same time next year would really help people out or really like, because their same time next year, the reason why they believe their relationship is so beautiful is because they don't spend every day together. It's one weekend a year where it's kind of Disney. It's a fairy tale, like, right? They don't talk during the year. They only have like two rules, death or... I think it was death or baby. One of the two is that those are the, like, if somebody
to
dies,
contact each other,
that's the only way. There's no contact.
Unless if I'm pregnant or
yes,
I'm dead.
Right. Well, not I'm dead, but like somebody important to me has died. My parent died. Like you can, you know, cause her brother and this guy are like best friends. So it's kind of, you know, convoluted, whatever. But there's a part of me that's like, that shit sounds really appealing. Now I have a relationship. I don't really want to go to my partner and be like, hey, I kind of want to just get a same time next year and you should get one too, because I think that would be really awesome.
Hall pass.
But I also think it would be really awesome. Am I awful?
No, it's the hall pass, right? It's the quintessential hall pass. Like, who's your celebrity hall pass, right?
Yeah.
So this is kind of like a non-celebrity hall pass. No, you're not awful. There's no, like, I get this question all the time. Am I wrong to feel this way? Whatever the way is, right? It's always something. Am I wrong to feel this way? And there are no wrong feelings, right? We're looping back to the front. It's okay to want this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Justin Lemiller, who was a past guest on my podcast, does a lot of research around sex. And when it comes to fantasies, a lot of the fantasies are best left as fantasies. The reality is actually quite disappointing.
Oh my God. Let me tell you about disappointment. Oh wait, no, I can't do that because he might listen to this podcast. Nope.
Can't do it.
Okay. Wait, actually I can, because it
can't
wasn't,
do it.
It wasn't the sex. It was, okay, here we go. Disappointing. I had this, when I was going through my sexual rumspringa after my divorce, Sean, I was like, listen, I was out here trying to have sex with everybody because I was confused. I had that sexless marriage. I found out that people weren't even matching panties and bras anymore. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? Like, I thought I had to match and like be cute and do all these things. And lo and behold,
people
the kids,
matching? People
they
actually
were like
match?
Matching their bras and panties. And now people just don't do that anymore. Apparently they
I've never seen that before. Really?
See, you can do whatever you want. And I didn't know that. So I was learning.
Doesn't matter.
But anyways, it doesn't. It's going to come off anyway. So
if I'm seeing the bras and the panties, it doesn't matter what color, kind, match or no match.
Look, fuck Victoria and her secret. Okay. Like, let's just keep it moving. Whatever. It's going to come off. Who cares? So I had this fantasy of going to a law office when it closed and sleeping with a lawyer on his desk.
Hot.
hot as hell.
Hot.
Not practical at all.
Push
Let
the
me
papers
tell you,
aside and just the whole sweeping
I
of
had
the
it,
desk.
I had it planned. I was like, yep. I took me a little hooker bath. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like cleaning the hot spots because I just had gotten off a plane. So I would hit the airport bathroom, hit the hot spots.
French. You call yes, that a French bath.
There's so many names for it. Hoe bath, whore bath. Somebody called it, we call it a bird bath to my kids because clearly I'm not going to tell them to take a hoe bath. Multiple
I like
baths,
the bird
right?
Bath. But that's nice.
Somebody said in nursing, they call it ass and pitties. Like wipe your ass in your pits. Ass yeah. and pitties. Anyways, so I have this fantasy and I'm like, yes, I am going to, I have a friend who happens to be a lawyer. I had the biggest crush on him in high school. He's single at the time. I message him and I said, listen, I need a favor. I want this to happen. I'm going to get off this plane. It's going to be late. It was like almost a red eye flight. And I'm coming to your office after hours and this is going to go down. And it was so hot in theory. And then I was on this hard ass desk and it was uncomfortable. And no shade to him or anything. Like, it was great. Like, it would have been nice had we have been somewhere else. Like all of it seemed really great. So I believe you when you talk about like a fantasy, sometimes you just stay a fantasy. But the 28 summer thing, I don't know. It sounds kind of enticing. It definitely doesn't sound like the desk thing, Sean.
I mean, it is enticing.
That's
it
still,
is enticing, but I'm always,
I know, because just because I can doesn't mean I should, Sean.
No, because I'm not going to endorse cheating.
Well, like, no. I'm not going to, well, I don't plan on cheating. So, I already told you I'm super ethical.
I know. But like, you know, you asked me what I think about this and like, I think it sounds hot, but I'm not about to say like, yeah, I think, you know, that everyone should have their 28 days, their 28, what is it?
28 summers.
Their hall pass, their yearly hall pass.
But can you ask for one?
Yes. That's, if you're going to have a hall pass, it's got to be out in the open. But then also, you know what? Esther Perel would probably, you know, has written a fantastic book on the state of affairs in the world and in the United States. And a lot of couples deal with infidelity. Most of those couples stay together.
Mm-hmm.
She might, I don't know what she would say about this, but in my conscience, I can't like advocate for these kinds of hall passes. If you're not going to talk about them, I think it's totally possible to have this in your relationship.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for everybody.
I definitely don't think it's for everyone. For those of you listening who are like, oh, I love my monogamy, please, by all means, enjoy that. Wrap yourself in it. This is a exploratory conversation, no judgment zone, safe.
Very like, alternative.
Yeah, do whatever you want to do. Like literally, as long as you're not harming people, do whatever you want. Now, like, just don't harm people. And in that, I want to be clear that I loved the book. And even though Mallory was very flawed, I knew I could never be Mal because I practice like ethical non-monogamy. If I'm going to be non-monogamous in any of my relationship, it's ethical. I'm like, hey, this is who I am. I like the ladies too. This is how I want to show up in the world. Is that okay with you? And if it's not, then I decide if I want to be in that relationship or not. Right.
Or they decide if they're not into it.
Exactly. And then I have to decide, okay, well, is that okay? Can I honor this boundary or not?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
How would you approach a hall pass situation? Like our let's go back, like, see, it all comes back full circle. ADHD. I know we're getting back there. If she does want something like that, how do you sit your partner down and say, and how do you not make them feel unloved? Like, I do love you so much. And also, variety and also hot. And also you can do this too, because maybe it'll bring you back to me and we can do some new things. How do you approach that situation and cause as little harm as possible?
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, I just want to acknowledge that the hall pass thing is hot.
It is for sure.
If I could get away with it in an alternate reality, I totally would. Okay. Let's just throw that out there. I don't want you to feel alone in you fighting that high, because it is.
It is kind of hot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert on opening up relationships. There are people that is what they do. Tristan Tiramino has a book called Opening Up. Literally, it's called Opening Up.
Okay.
The guide to opening up.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes. Link to the Goodreads. Mm-hmm. Tristan Tiramino, Opening Up. My friend Yana Talon Hicks is a therapist, is a content creator, and does a lot of work on polyamory, non-monogamous relationships, okay, how to open them up. So there are people that, like, you don't have to bumble your way through this conversation. You don't have to show up unprepared.
Okay.
There are resources out there that can help you prepare the terrain, the environment, for you to have this conversation in the way that can be the least painful as possible. I think regardless, it's going to hurt.
Mm.
It's probably going to hurt, right? Just imagine you're in a monogamous relationship and your partner goes, "Hey, I love you. I love our sex life. This is how I would have it. I love you. I love our sex life. I love the life that we're building together. I am super 100% committed to you, to us, and to us continuing to grow and build this beautiful union that we have. All right.
I appreciate that so much. I do too, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. We're having this conversation live.
We're practicing. Sometimes you got to role play with it.
I just want you to know that this is where I'm coming from, right? A place of deep love and respect for who you are.
Oh, thank you.
I recently have found myself being really curious about non-monogamy and polyamory. Now, that doesn't mean that this is what I want to do. It doesn't mean that I want to sleep with anybody else. It just means that I'm kind of curious about it. And I would love to explore this topic, just talking about it with you. I want to know what your thoughts are. I want to know if you're curious. I'd love to listen to a podcast. There's a book called Opening Up that I think might be interesting for us to read. Doesn't mean that I want to sleep with anybody else. Doesn't mean that I want to leave you, but I do want to have this conversation with you. Is that something that you are open to? And if you're not, that's totally fine. But I'm just kind of curious if that's something that we can explore together.
Well, I think I need to process.
Totally.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something we need to process, right? So I love this. I think what I love is that you give us the language. Like, that is so important. I think so often we get stuck in our heads and we don't have the language, you know? And what you do, what you're really good at, Sean, is giving us the language, right? Because I know that I can be like, "Why are you laughing? Because I'm giving you a compliment." You do.
No, thank you. It's because, like, I come up with all these scripts for conversations that I don't actually have. That's why it's like, I think it's so funny. Like, I don't have this conversation. I haven't had this conversation. I know how to have it, but I haven't had it, you know?
Well,
so I'm showing people, they have to come up with the courage. I'll give you the language. You come up with the courage, then you got to have the conversation.
But sometimes the courage is hard to come up with because you don't have the language, right? And so you are a pivotal piece of this. And so I think that, yes, I think having the language is really important, and understanding that I think there could be hurt on both sides, to be honest. Like, you can go to someone thinking they're all into you, and all of a sudden they're like, "Oh shit, I want to try that out too." Has happened to me, right? And then you're like, you got to check your ego, because you got to hold the fuck on, because I know I'm enough, right? Like, so you're you have to be able to check
best
your
friend,
ego.
I've been checking out your best friend, and I think it'd be great to explore that.
Literally, you have to have some, right? Like, hold up. Like, all of a sudden you're talking about, like, "Oh, we want to try this. We want to explore this. We could do a threesome." And then all of a sudden they're like, "Yeah, we should invite your best friend in." And you're like, "Hold the fuck on. Well, we're not going to
prepare for that."
Yeah. So you just have to be mindful that these conversations can be a little tricky and messy. And so you have to be aware of your boundaries. And also, it is so important to check your ego in all of it, because if you're leading with love and you're like, "Hey, like, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt myself. it is very easy for your humanity to jump in and for your like who you are as a human to be jealous, to be what, hold on, even if you're the one bringing up the conversation, it's happened before to me where I've been like, hey, I'm really interested in this. And they've been like, me too. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean you're interested in
this? Yeah. Like, you're not supposed to be interested. I'm only supposed to be interested.
Right. And how awful, right? Like, that's when you have to check yourself and realize you are egoing the hell out, right? They get, if you're interested in something and they happen to tell you that they are also interested in it, you don't have a right to be defensive. Like, you're the one who brought it up, right? Learn that lesson.
I mean, you could be you could be defensive, you know.
Yeah, right. Like, wait a minute.
It's
I thought I was the only one seeking other opportunities. No.
Right, yeah, you're not doing yourself any favors, that's for sure.
You're not. So, okay, there's so much. So let's go back through a little bit. It's okay. Well, one thing that you said that really stuck out to me is that it's okay to feel any of your feelings, right?
Yeah.
And as someone who really, really prioritizes social emotional learning, SEL is my jam as I'm teaching the kids at school. I really focus on the social emotional piece because I feel like the academics piece is going to come, but common sense and social emotional learning isn't always as common and we don't focus on it. And so I think it is such a beautiful thing that you named that you get to feel whatever it is that you want to feel, but it is important to understand how you react to those feelings or how you, what's the word? How you present those feelings or put those feelings out into the world. You get to be angry, sad, frustrated. You can even be enraged, right?
Yeah.
But how do you handle that?
Yeah. How much and what do you do with it?
Right. So let's name that feelings are complicated and you get to feel everything, but it's very important to know how to navigate those feelings. And if you're not in control of your emotions, maybe that is something you want to work on first. Does that sound fair?
Yeah. It's going to be hard to control emotions anyways, but I don't want to be at the mercy of my emotions.
Right. Right. And understanding our triggers, I think, is really helpful.
Of course. And that's going to take, you know, work with a therapist and a lot of introspection and awareness, curiosity around your life story. I was hiking with a friend this morning and talked about this idea of, you know, when you're feeling something uncomfortable, you open the door, right? Mm-hmm. You welcome the emotion in, you greet it. Okay. Hello, frustration. What do you have to tell me? Right? Because all of these emotions are trying to tell you something, but you don't have to do anything other than opening the door, welcoming them in, and then going back to what it is that you were doing.
Yeah.
Right. So not being held hostage by your emotions, by sort of letting them run your life.
Mm.
You can say, okay, I'm angry. What am I angry about? I'm angry about this. Why am I angry about this? Because of this, this, and this. What is this trying to tell me? Okay. Got it. Now I'm going to do something else.
Yep.
And I'm not kicking anger out. Anger is still hanging out. The door's open. And then eventually anger will leave when it needs to leave.
Yeah. And I think that investigative piece of your feelings is so important. I find myself, I've done extensive therapy. I know after our initial conversation, right? I went into intensive therapy because that self-abandonment piece was something that was missing and was really important. So I went back in and I said, I don't ever want to do this to myself again. How do I know when I'm self-abandoning? Because sometimes it's just such a part of my personality now is just to like appease people or to be so flexible when I don't have to be this flexible. Like that is that's a trauma response. It's a survival tactic. Flexibility for me is like, oh, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. I have opinions and feelings. I do, you know? And so I think that really investigating my feelings has helped because I'm not triggered by the majority of the things that used to trigger me, but now like with my partner, because we spend the most time together, I find myself triggering him the most and him triggering me the most. And rather than get so frustrated and like yell at him, I stop and I usually think, ooh, okay, why did this impact me this way? Because half the time he's not even trying to trigger me or, you know, it has nothing to do with him. It's literally me. And then I have to decide, am I going to cuss this man out right now? No, I shouldn't because this has nothing to do with him. I'm hurt somewhere in there. And I have to figure out why he didn't even hurt me in this way. It's something else. And then I have to like investigate it and kind of move through it. So I love that you said to pause and like ask yourself those questions, but not to get stuck in it. Right.
Yeah. What's the story that I'm telling myself here? Is the story like, oh, he's doing this to me? Or does this feel a lot like how my dad used to talk to me?
Yep. Exactly. Or, oh, this reminds me of my last marriage and why I'm not in it anymore. And this has nothing to do with him because he's not the same man. Yeah. But I have to remind myself that because Lord have mercy, the body has muscle memory.
Yeah.
And that when you're triggered, you will forget who you're looking at. And all of a sudden you are back 10 years ago and you are right in the thick of it again. And so you do have to be very mindful of that shit, right?
Yeah, there's a book called The Body Keeps the Score.
Oh, I know it. That stress, that toxic stress. Ooh, it's hard. It's hard. There's another book that's really, really good that kind of involves all this stuff. It's Nadine Barcaris and it's The Deepest Well. It's one of my favorites. It's about understanding trauma and your adverse childhood experience scores and the way that your childhood trauma really rears its ugly head as an adult. And so I'm always laughing at parents, in not in a mean way, but like with a compassionate way. When I hear parents as an educator, I hear a lot of things, you know, and even my own mom, well, you're grown. This has nothing to do with me. Actually, this has everything to do with you. And I try to tell parents, like when they're like, oh, when my kids are grown, it's not, no, when your kids are grown, they're going to be impacted by every decision you made when they were a child. Yep. People just don't understand like all the connections. Yeah. Oh my goodness, Sean. Listen, it is a whole session with you. I just feel
Hold on. So wait. One of the things that we didn't do was actually answer the question.
Yeah, we did. What was the question? What'd she say?
The question at the very end was, what do I do with all this extra love?
Okay. Well, I have an opinion, but I want to hear yours first. Or do you want to hear mine first? What do you want to do?
You go first.
Me?
You go first. Yeah.
I think that as an empath for myself, like as somebody who is a feeler and an empath and who has so much love to give, I have always been good at pouring that love into other people, giving it to my partner, my children, the people I work with, my students, pouring it into them so much. And one of the things I've recognized as a feeler is that it's okay to pour some of that love back into me. And, That was key for me was, you know, sometimes we think we just have to keep giving love and we're missing giving some of that love to ourselves. And now I don't know if that is our friend's situation, but I do know that she's got a lot of love to give and she clearly can't give it to her brother-in-law. I maybe would have a conversation if she's thinking polyamory is something she might be interested in or an open relationship or maybe trying a threesome with her husband, whatever she wants. I would say like, have those conversations in the way that you said, Sean, because, you know, don't take my advice on the conversation shit. Just listen to Sean. But
get the book first.
Get the book. But I do think that we're really good as humans in pouring love into other people and not necessarily giving that love to ourselves. So that's my thought.
That's my answer. I mean, okay. So there's like,
oh shit, you know, are we really in alignment?
Yeah. I mean, we're generally in alignment.
Yes.
Of course, like, yeah. Give back to those that don't have as much as you, right? So if you're in a position to volunteer, mm-hmm. there's, you know, you can always give more love to your friends and to your kids. I mean, she's got kids, is all that. But I really think the crucial piece is, can you give yourself the love that you wish you had received from others?
Yeah. Right?
Can you give yourself the love that you wish you had received from brother-in-law?
Mm-hmm. I know that's right. Magic wand, girl, you better get it.
Magic wand with a dimmer, put a dimmer on
the dimmer and the batteries, battery operated. High speed, low speed.
Well, if you got the batteries, you can't use the dimmer. So if you got an old school and
I got the old school, so I got to get the dimmer. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a, you know, $12 add-on. But yeah, so you know, what do you do with all that excess love? You give it to yourself, you give it to other people.
And you're grateful that you have it, literally. Like, listen, some people don't feel that much love. And she said that. She said she's coming from a place of gratitude. She had wound up at a place of gratitude where she's like, how lucky am I to feel all this love? You're damn right. That is a beautiful place to be, to have the gratitude. And I would say, do not allow that jealousy because sometimes jealousy leads to sabotage. Self-sabotage and sabotaging something for someone else. You are in a place where you're in a relationship with your husband. She raved about her marriage. She loves her marriage. Allow him the space to be happy as well. Love him that much, let him be happy without you. He don't even know you love him.
I teared up hearing about her relationship. Also feel the frustration of not being able to sleep with your brother-in-law.
Yeah, because that is probably frustrating, right? right? Like, damn, I got all this love to give. He fine as hell over here. Totally, and I can't even give him none and he can get it. No, she's stressed. She's so stressed. But we are holding space for you, love. And just know, I know you're not alone out there. Everyone is not all about monogamy. Everybody is not all about polyamory. There is all different types of choices and decisions. And you don't have to, like, one of the things I think that we should all take away from this conversation is, like, just because you can doesn't mean you have to. And it also means you don't have to, but you have to decide, you know, because there are ramifications for every decision we make, period. There are consequences, good and bad, and you have to decide what's important to you.
And just because you can, sometimes you should.
Right. Like,
that's on you. I mean, you get to figure it out. You're an adult with agency. Also, if you're in love with your in-law, send Miss Danielle a message. I want to hear about it.
You do? Listen, if you are in love with someone who it's like deemed not, listen, let me just name this right now. Don't send me no shit about being in love with somebody underage, because you're going to get cussed out. I am a mom and a mama bear, and that there is no room for that. So I'm just going to let you know, we will be not talking about any R. Kelly situations, none of that shit. Don't come for me and I won't come for you. But if it is legal and you are loving somebody who it is frowned upon, or it's your boss or anything like that, we will hold space for you and we will talk it out. Because look, some of my most favorite conversations have happened with Sean. Sean told me about myself, okay? And sis has stopped self-abandoning since my last conversation with Sean. So he knows what he's talking about. And I'm here to just lighten the load, okay? I'm here for comedy. That's what I'm here for. No, I am, I love love. And it's slippery, tricky slope. And I don't know how you do this all the time, because my God, it's exhausting. But
it's messy. It's messy and it's complicated and it's beautiful and it's a necessary part of life. And we are all just doing the best we can.
I know that's
right. And sometimes
right.
The best, not that great, but that's okay.
It's true. And I think she has done a very good job, because 10 years of loving somebody and not acting on it, whew. Give her an award, please. Or at least a Starbucks gift card. Somebody.
At least a nitro cold.
Give
cold
her
brew.
A Starbucks gift card. Sean, I love you. I so appreciate you. You're incredible. And maybe we need to talk to somebody who is going to approach the hall pass conversation, because I'm interested in that.
I'm into it. Miss Danielle, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here again.
You can come back anytime, Sean. You're my favorite. Like, literally, my podcast is your
blast.
Podcast.
You're a blast to hang with.
Wow. All I know is maybe part two wasn't even enough, but we got a great start, right? And some of the things that I think me personally, I took away is that maybe we're not talking about things. Maybe things are only uncommon just because we don't talk about it. Maybe all these taboo things aren't really all that taboo. But we have been socialized to not talk about our wants, our needs, what makes us happy, even if it's more than one person. I think the only thing that we can work on, right, is to stop judging each other. Because if what I got going on in my bedroom is not harming you or anybody else, why are you in my bedroom anyway? Right? And just because it's not for you doesn't mean it's not for somebody else. All right? Now, I know that there are people who love peeps. You know, those little squishy marshmallowy things that come out on like Easter. They look like rabbits. There are people who ride or die for peeps. And then there are people like me who simply the thought of peeps makes me throw up a little bit in my mouth. But it's okay that you like peeps. And it's okay that I don't like peeps. Now take my peeps analogy and slide into the sheets. Hey, you see what I did there? Peeps to sheets. Yeah. If I like something and you don't like it, it's okay. We don't even have to talk about that. As long as we're not harming each other, who cares? Stay in your lane, right? Do what you like. As long as you're ethical, I don't care. Maybe sometimes helping humans out is as simple as mind your business. We've talked about it so many times. To our anonymous helper, thank you so much for your vulnerability, your transparency, all of that. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And know that you are doing everything right. You're taking the steps and putting in the work to understand and accept big feelings you have. And major props for that, because it's a very difficult situation. And who's to say anybody has a right answer? But I am sending you all the love and all the light as you navigate a complicated situation. And I hope you just do it with compassion and love. And that's all you can do. I am rooting for you. I am rooting for your brother-in-law. I am rooting for your husband. Y'all gonna get through this. All right. Thank you, Sean. As always, you were fantastic. And I can't wait to have you back on the show, because you know people will come with the good questions. If you have a question, speaking of which, and you want us to answer it, send a voice memo to hahopodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @hahopodcast. I'm your host, Miss Danielle, and our executive producer is Emma Martins. Help a Human Out is produced by Red Rock Music and is powered by Acast. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.